This is the Dixie Chicken and the Tennessee Man.
Now recording.
That's what's like, up, yeah. Craig?
Craig's back.
Hey, Craig. What's up? Happy New Year, Craig. How about that?
Well, that's nice. That's the first time that I think we've wished a bot a Happy New Year.
That's true. And guess what? Happy birthday, Trenny.
Birthday?
I'm sorry. New Year's. Sorry. Whatever it is. Happy New Year's. Oh, gosh. Okay, we're off to a perfect start here. Here we go.
Yeah.
2021.
2021, just as good as 2020.
Well, no, Happy New Year, Trey.
Thanks, Matt.
To you, my dear friend.
Happy New Year to you. And to all our fans out there.
All of our fans.
All the fans. You know who you are.
Well, and listen, I know there are so many of you that you think that it's hard for us to keep track. Mm-hmm. But it's not. And so Happy New Year's to all of you anyway. So...
Yes, but you know, I love getting texts from people. When I get texts or I see one of them and I see them in person, they make a comment.
Yes.
You know, Sideshow Bob sent me a text last week. Bruce sent me a text. It was cool. I like getting interaction from the listeners. And I hope that they don't. I hope we're not disappointing you. our loyal listeners.
Well, we can only hope against hope on that one, right?
Yes, because it's
because I've listened to this podcast too. So,
come on, I listened to a podcast just the other day, another sports podcast of people who thought they were being a sports podcast. And while ours is a sports podcast, I think it's equally comedic, or at least an attempt at comedy. I wish that was a category we could put our podcast is not
an attempt comedy, at comedy,
not podcast? Comedy, but attempted comedy,
attempted comedy podcast.
Correct.
Yes. If that genre existed, that's exactly what we should be.
Right. No that's doubt. What we are. We're like, yeah. we're not actually comedic in so much as that we're funny, but we try to be funny. We also try to be knowledgeable about sports.
And we failed in both attempts. But again, thank you for failing with us, everyone.
It's a try.
We call this place Loserville.
No.
If I may quote The Hangover.
You may. You watched The Hangover today. Tell me what your favorite scene about The Hangover is.
Today I think it was when they do the tasing scene. Of course I love that movie. But something about particularly today about the tasing scene when the kids tase our Hangover members. Mm-hmm. Was really, really good to me. That's why I brought up Loserville, because that was right before they get tased. So
right, and we discussed it already, but I am. It was episode 3, ladies and gentlemen. Go back and listen to episode 3, or I might just post episode 3 as a favorite. But episode 3 was where we decided that I am my character in Hangover is Galifianakis. And the baby. I'm not just Galifianakis or just the baby.
Galifianakis, but Galifianakis and the baby.
And the baby. Like wearing the baby on your chest like Quado.
Yes.
I am Galifianakis and the baby. Which brings me to this year in 2020, we are finally going to start
2021.
I'm sorry. In this year,
let's make
of the
sure
Lord,
we get the year right.
2021.
That'll be the only thing we get right all year. Please do it. Thank you. Appreciate
right.
you.
So in the year of 2021, we are going to actually start awarding some of the things that we talked about early in the pod, and that is we're going to start awarding the Beard of Galifianakis.
Yes.
We're going to introduce Zanus, who will probably be the one who awards the Galifianakis, the Beard of Galifianakis.
Amongst other things. As
amongst
well.
Other things. But we're really going to...
Should we tease Zanus any further than that, or just leave
sure,
Zanus?
Go for it. No, go for it.
Okay, Zanus. Well, so what... Zanus is someone that Trey and I have encountered, as most of you know who listen to our podcast. Trey and I are involved in many other, you know, philanthropic and non-philanthropic, you know, causes, including time travel and some other things. We've encountered someone who's not even from our own solar system, only from this galaxy. His name is Zanus, and he is the living tribunal of assholes for the entire galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. Apparently, every galaxy has one of these, and we've encountered him. And for whatever reason, and when I say for whatever reason, I mean, I like Trey, and I know all you guys like Trey too, but Zanus really likes Trey. So he wants to be a part of the
asshole.
Podcast now. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's your secret calling to Zanus. But Zanus is going to start appearing on our podcast from time to time and giving out different awards, including Well, I mean, how else do we say it, Trey? Like calling out the asshole, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. Or the butthole. Maybe I should say it that way so it doesn't have to get, like, you know, bleeped out or whatever.
But yeah, so I don't have to bleep the entire episode?
Yeah. So, but his name is that. Now, that's one thing to remember. He was very clear. He's not the living tribunal of butthole. He's the living tribunal of asshole. Correct. So we can't, if you start bleeping all that stuff out or asking him to change, I don't know if he's even going to like you anymore and we're going to lose him. But he's coming soon, very soon. I think, as a matter of fact, probably by roughly Super Bowl time, we should have our first Zanus episode.
Yeah, hopefully someone in sports or pop culture will present themselves as a Zanus candidate.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any candidates right now, except for, I think you could give it to, right now, I'd say on now granted, it technically happened in 2020, but it was yesterday's, oh, by the way, it's recording day, January 1st, 2021. Yesterday's Mississippi State Tulsa game, at the end of the game, when both teams got into an all-out brawl, and one guy got concussed during the brawl, I think that brawl,
the right concussor, now,
that entire
at least the concussor, not perhaps. The concussee, perhaps.
I don't know.
But that entire thing could be a nomination. Yes,
a nominee. That right now is a nominee.
Yes, for Zanus.
For Zanus.
And by the way, folks, it was ridiculous. When he does come out, there will be some pick art, so you'll be able to see what Zanus looks like, and I think you'll be very impressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's sexy.
He's special, isn't he? Yeah,
he is. So anyway, let's talk about now. Today is January 1st, 2021. I am in quarantine, and I'm in quarantine on probably one of the best football days of the year. Please turn down your television.
That would be me, people. All right, go ahead.
I'm not going to do any spoiling. I'm not going to do any of that silliness today. But today is Georgia Cincinnati. Today is Alabama Notre Dame, and today is Clemson Ohio State. Those three games on the worldwide leader of sports will keep me watching Tommy John commercials all day. I'm going to want to buy so many pairs of Tommy John underwear and Roman butt wipes I need to lock my credit card, because I'll be watching so many commercials for prescription hair loss and Tommy John underwear.
Wow. Is there any way that you could get, like, Tommy John underwear with hair on it?
I already have that. It's in my dirty clothes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I don't want to make you spend any extra money for sure. So.
So
there's all sorts Tommy of John's. Wonderful things going on. Yes. Like you said, great football day. Unfortunately, I believe that your Crimson Tide is going to waltz over my beloved Notre Republic Dame Fighting Irish at 4:00. But one can always hope.
I don't know if you're correct about the walk all over, because I do think Notre Dame has a talented team. But I do believe that Alabama will probably beat them by... The cover right now, the line is 20. I wouldn't be. I'm realistically, I picked it at like 17, because I think Notre Dame's going to make a mistake, and the defense is going to capitalize and score, and then I think the offense beats you by a touchdown or so. So I do believe that it will be a win for the Alabama Crimson Tide. But you got to play the game. I mean, as many games. Let me ask you this real quick before we dive into that. What's your opinion on all of these bowl games and their players opting out? For example, in yesterday's Mississippi State game, it wasn't Mississippi State game. What game was it? That nine players.
Oh, the Florida.
The Florida game. Thank Florida you. Game, yeah. The Florida game. Nine starters of the 22 starters opted out of the Florida game, and Florida got their ass handed to them because their four wide receivers didn't play. What's your thoughts on opting out of bowl games?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, and like, you know, we've teased this before, I don't know if we'll ever go into in depth on it, but I think it's pretty interesting to me that the NCAA as a corporation makes multiple billions of dollars a year on sports. And these kids can't even get like a $5 bill to go buy a, you know, a Whopper. So I guess I probably wouldn't necessarily have done it myself because I'm, you know, not only like kind of a loyal athlete, but also maybe a little bit dumb and I was never that good. But I don't blame the kids for opting out. It's like, well, I'm getting drafted next year. This is one last game that really doesn't matter to me. And, you know, and trust me, man, I've been there too. I've been a college athlete. I know there's some stuff going on where they get some money and they get some help, and that's great. And they definitely get scholarships, and that's great. But I don't have a problem with it because for all that they're doing and all the money they're generating, one last game that really doesn't mean anything for like a championship, you could call the bowl game a championship. And of course, you always have to be with your team, but I'm good with it. I really am. I mean, I understand it. I understand there's a lot of old schoolers that will fight with me on this, and I'm cool to do that. So call in, text in, whatever. But no, I'm cool with it.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, I mean, I get it from the draft standpoint. Their regular season's over. The games mean nothing. There's only two, or I guess three, bowl games that matter anymore, that really mean anything anymore, because now we have a playoff system. And so I guess I get it from the, I have to protect my career beyond this bowl game because this game doesn't matter. So I guess my take on it would be, I think this is just more evidence of why we need to expand the college football playoff from four teams to six or eight. And I know you have an interesting take on this, so I'm going to let you run with it. But I think we need to expand the college football playoff as soon as possible so that these players will find the motivation to stick around. Those Florida players would have stuck around. Today, I think in the Georgia-Cincinnati game, there's a whole bunch of players that opted out. I would like to see full strength Georgia play full strength Cincinnati. I would like to have seen full strength Florida play that game and see if they could have. They may not have won the game. I'm not that arrogant to think that, but they definitely wouldn't have been embarrassed like they were. So what's your take on the college football playoff?
So something that I've always been a proponent of, and this was even before the CFP playoff came about. This is way back in like the BCS days. And just so it's known, I think the BCS is a much better plan than we had before that, where you've got a bunch of people who've never played the game before picking the, you know, the national champion based on the fact that maybe they saw him play twice. So, I mean, that's ridiculous. But at least with the BCS, there was some sort of conglomerate, and everybody had to come together and, you know, and kind of, you had to, you know, be there, watch some games, and so on and so forth. But once the BCS came about, my big thing was, okay, so we've got our Power Five, which I don't think anybody's going to doubt that, with the exception of one or two outside, maybe like teams on a certain year, the Power Five is going to have the cream of the crop. And it just, it's the way of things. So I like the idea of an 8-team college football playoff system where the Power Five conferences, every conference champion gets a bid in the 8-team playoff. Now, it doesn't mean they'll always be the top five seeds. You know, like on some cases, if somebody's winning conference A or conference B or whatever like that, and they win it with like a, you know, like a 9-3 record.
Like Ohio State this year, for example.
Yeah.
Ohio State this year would have been an 8 in your mind.
Yeah, they'd be an 8 in my mind. But if you win that conference, you get it. And then there's 3 at-large bids, which really does open up the field, you know, for everybody that's not a Power Five. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be better. Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the Division IIs and stuff like that, I mean, they do a 16-team playoff. And everybody's like, well, we can't do that. We're going to play too many games. They play as many games as, like, the Power Five guys do in the FBS. But they actually somehow manage in a playoff system. So I don't see – the whole idea of why this can't be done is just because it's the same old crap with the NCAA not wanting to do anything except just suck money away from everybody but the players. And that's why I think it's going to be hard. I think we'll get it eventually, But even an 8-game playoff is going to be almost impossible because you got all these dinosaurs out there running the NCAA and just want to like suck every freaking dime out of everything they can. And, you know, I mean, I guess that is what it is. I can't fight that. But yeah, for me, 18 playoff, no doubt. Power Five conference champions in there, three at-larges. And to your point, what that's going to do is it's going to make some of these like these bowl games that used to mean something that now don't mean jack, they're going to be more that mean something.
Well, and to your point about the bowl games that don't matter, like the Cotton Bowl. The Cotton Bowl is the fifth bowl, right? It's the bowl that got left out of the playoff scenario. It's in a great location, obviously now in Jerry Jones, you know, Jerry World.
The Death Star.
Yeah, it's been a historically a good bowl that now it just don't matter. I mean, these so many of these bowl games just don't matter. Even this Chick-fil-A Bowl where you know, Georgia Cincinnati, it doesn't matter. And I'd like to see it matter. I would love to see where a Cincinnati ranked 8 and a Georgia ranked 9 matters.
Yeah.
It would be fun for me. It would be fun for, I think, and honestly, I think it would be fun for people. I think it'd be fun for the players. It'd be fun for fans. We need to consider, they need to, we don't need, we've already decided. We've made the decision. The NCAA needs to really consider this if they want to save the sport. Or if they want to at least save their bowl portion of their season. Because I don't think as a sponsor, if I ran Coca-Cola right now, I don't know if I would be willing to shell out, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And I don't know what a bowl sponsor pays to put their name. I don't know what Chick-fil-A paid to put their name on this bowl game. But I'm guessing it wasn't $25. It was probably
$30.
Yeah. But whatever the case is, it's
we
not
say
cheap.
$30. He's not kind of like Rain Man.
$30. Wapner.
Wapner. Uh oh. Fart.
I'm this podcast's Rain Man. No, but I think they really need to do something to save the bowl season because people. I think as fans, we don't really care that much about a lot of these bowl games, and especially if players start opting out in the future to protect their draft potential. Because you could get hurt at any moment. Your career could be over. I mean, any one of these players could go down today and career is over.
Yeah, any single play in football, especially at this level with these athletes running around like they are, any single play could be the end of your life.
Yeah.
So
I think they need to do something to make it relevant again. The Bulls used to be relevant. They're no longer relevant anymore. Let's move on. What are our other topics for today's pod?
Well, let's see. I was just making some notes with my astronaut pen.
Ooh, you have an astronaut pen?
Oh, yeah, you didn't know that?
Well, I didn't know that because I didn't know that. Did you get it when you were an astronaut? Tell me about being an astronaut. How is the moon?
Well, you know, the moon is really not all it's cracked up to be. It's kind of like Panama City. But but it's decent. It's a little bit, you know, different than everything else. But no, but I got my astronaut pen back in my days as an astronaut. And what it is, it's like this really cool thing. It looks like a tiny little torpedo. And half of it comes off and you put it back in there. And then there's your tiny torpedo. You pull it out, pop it in backwards, and suddenly it's a pen. But it's an astronaut pen. It's the same pen that they give astronauts like me. And you can write upside down with it. You can also write underwater with it.
Did when you were in space, did you do much writing underwater?
Well, there was actually a lot of tests where we were in space underwater, and they wanted to make sure the pen worked. And so I was like picked up to do that. And so we did a lot of it. And oddly enough, it does work. But the weird thing is, the one thing we haven't figured out yet is how to keep the paper dry.
Right. That's really my biggest problem with any of that technology is what am I writing on with my astronaut pen that I'm going to want to keep for later?
Well, I mean, the whole idea about it, Trey, honestly, is that what you really want to try to achieve is, you know, that situation, we've all been there. Trust me, I know this. Everyone that's listening to this has been there before. When suddenly you've got to sign a document and you're underwater.
Like, so you're just like swimming around in your pool and somebody swings by and hands you like, you know, like a mortgage papers or your divorce papers, yeah, or you've been served because you've been stalking a local high school girl that you know is you know.
Well, Trey, let's keep your business off the podcast for now, if that's right with you.
Right.
But I mean, I get where you're going. Yeah, yeah.
Swimming in the pool when you got all of a sudden signed a court document saying that you won't stalk a high school girl anymore, and you're like, well, I might as well just take this astronaut pen that I keep here in my pocket while I'm swimming, because you never know when you're gonna have to sign the document underwater, and you sign said document underwater.
Yes, exactly.
When has that ever happened? Can anyone who listens to this podcast tell me if they've ever signed a document underwater?
Oh my God! I mean, seriously, is there anyone on this podcast, maybe other than you? And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to call you out here, but that hasn't had that situation. I mean, that's happened to me at least four or five times.
Really? Really?
Yeah, except for the whole stalking of high school girls and stuff. Yeah, but the rest of it, absolutely.
Sure. Weird. Like Brew, for example. Brew, let me ask you a question. Brew is an avid scuba diver. He is a master scuba diver, I don't remember if that's the title, master diver. What's better than master diver?
Masturbator?
No, he's no. Leaving that one alone. too easy. Softball. Brew.
Don't tee it up for me, man. I'm gonna hit
right.
it if you do.
So Brew, have you
I love
ever,
you, Brew. You're my boy, Brew.
Like maybe it's for graffiti. That's what it is. So Brew, when he's scuba diving old World
to
War
do
II wrecks,
underwater graffiti.
Underwater
with
graffiti.
With an astronaut pin.
With
yes.
the astronaut pin. That's what it's for. Now
hey, by the way,
out.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I know what we're getting Brew for Christmas now.
An astronaut pin for doodling, yep. for underwater yep. doodling?
Yes.
Yes. I love it. I love it. Brew, I've decided also is going to be a character in our cartoon. His outfit will be like a scuba gear.
Okay.
He'll be like Scuba Steve, except it'll be Scuba Brew.
Scuba Brew.
Scuba Brew.
Yeah. Hey, by the way,
yeah.
interesting.
Yes.
Coming up on the NFL playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of big games going on. I don't want to go into great details. We'll just talk a little bit about the fact that I believe you're doing the Pose versus the Cats. And if the Pose win, they're in.
But correct,
meanwhile,
correct.
We've got other games like the Browns and the Steelers. I believe if the Browns win, they're in.
Mm-hmm.
But if they lose, they might be out. You got a great game with the Bills and the Dolphins, which may include the Dolphins getting in or out of the playoffs. Over in the NFC, of all things, the team that was win and they're in the playoffs and host a home playoff game from that dumpster fire that is the NFC East. Pretty unbelievable, but being the dumpster fire it is, the team that was having a chance at it, I think that's perfect. Also, the Rams and the Cardinals, maybe. Now, Murray may be playing for the Cardinals, but it might be two backup quarterbacks playing for a win and end situation in the playoffs. A lot of stuff going on with the NFL playoffs and everything coming on this week. But the biggest thing going on is the fact that you and I, after the full 16 weeks, going into week number 17, are in a dead even tie. 159 wins, 75 losses. My tiebreaker, of course, is I have the two ties, and we discussed that.
Yes, of course.
But you only got one tie.
Right. One tie, you have two ties, because I gave you a tie as a Christmas present. So how incredible is it that one, we are completely tied through 16 weeks? That's insane. Because it's not like we've been picking the same picks. We've had alternate picks. We've gone back and forth. I was up four, you were up two, it's not like we've just, picked the same picks every week. I think it's impressive that we have done that. Also impressive that we have picked twice as many winners as we have losers.
Yes.
That's pretty good. I mean, if we were to just go straight winners, losers in Vegas, we'd probably be up a couple bucks.
Yeah, I mean, we may not be rich yet, but we definitely are on top at this point.
Right.
So,
yeah. I would be curious, maybe next season, because I know our fan base would love just more and more of us picking things with our picks of our lives.
Like mushroom compost through a tin horn, so are the picks of our lives.
Maybe next season we we play the line. We try to cover.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
That will make it significantly more balanced if we have to pick. Maybe we can do both. Like, we can pick winners and losers, and then we have to pick the cover.
Like more of the true celebrities do. If we can do that there, what we would do is maybe we'll only pick like 5 to 8 games a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea. And I think it'd be fun too if we could maybe we can set up a listener pool, like a fantasy pick'em.
Or
that all our listeners can join in.
Celebrity prognosticators, just like Dr. Lorraine.
I love it. I think they should all do that. I think all of our listeners, especially our listeners from other countries, we're surprisingly a high percentage of our listeners are from other countries. I don't know how they stumbled across it. Maybe it's our Facebook and Twitter feed. Maybe it was accidentally that one time where I spent $5 on Facebook ads and it sent it all over the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I accidentally hit a button.
It could be all these things.
It could be. I accidentally hit a button one time on the Facebook that says, "Hey, promote your podcast." And I clicked on it and I'm like, "Oh, this is interesting, blah, blah, blah." And I clicked one extra button and I expected it to give me like a confirmation. It did not confirm. It just did it. So I got charged $5 one time, and it was $5. All right, so here's my thing about Auburn. As an Alabama fan, I'm supposed to hate Auburn. First of all, I don't hate anymore. I've stopped hating. I gave that up for
Well, except
New
for
Year's.
People.
Exactly. I hate people, but I stopped hating generally many years ago. However, I guess so I'm supposed to hate Auburn, but I don't. But here's my thing. I'm an SEC guy. I'm a team first, SEC second. I think we've talked about it. Yep. Team first, SEC second. So I'm pulling for Georgia in this Georgia-Cincinnati game. I'm pulling for Auburn in the Auburn-Northwestern game. I'm pulling for Alabama versus Notre Dame
because I'm an Alabama fan.
And then, surprisingly, I'm pulling for Clemson in the Ohio State-Clemson game because I live in South Carolina. My daughter might go to Clemson. It's in-state tuition, so it's going to be a lot cheaper than if she goes to some other school. So that's selfishly...
And also, how cool of a name is Dabo?
It's a good name. And he went to Alabama, so there's an Alabama connection there. Margie's friends.
You can't pass
with,
on all that.
Right. Margie is friends with Dabo's wife. Now, they haven't kept their friendship up, but like in college and a few years after, they were pretty tight. I think they were in the same sorority or similar sorority. I don't know the details because sometimes I don't listen.
That's a good thing.
That would have been weird.
Yeah.
That would have been weird.
Just trying to help you out there, man.
Thank you.
That's why I'm
Thank
here.
Thank you. So what were we talking about?
So have I told you about my bleeding chest yet?
Oh, no. What happened to your chest? Did you pluck a hair?
Here's a PSA for everyone out there, guys. And again, listen, we're so thankful for all of you. We love you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Merry New Year. Happy New Year. Kwanzaa. Festivus. Happy Hanukkah. I mean, everything that I can get out there, just do it.
Favorite Adam Sandler song, by the way. The Hanukkah song.
Oh, that's the Hanukkah song. Sorry. I thought you were asking me what my favorite was, but that's your favorite. Okay.
It's my favorite.
So, but nonetheless, all things being equal, here's my PSA for all of you today. Do not take and use Vicks Vapor Rub made in Mexico that's almost 3 years expired. I tried it the other night, and although I got the wonderful mentholyptus vapor feeling and kind of like cleared out my nostrils and all my like winter congestion and everything else, as great as that was, it gave me a rash that literally made my chest bleed from the outside.
So you actually broke into like actual blood.
Like a bleeding rash, yes.
Wow. I've never had a bleeding rash. That's a heck of a reaction. That's a heck of a reaction to 3-year-old mentholyptus
vapor rub made in Mexico.
Vapor rub made in Mexico. Yeah. Well, that's a good PSA. Thanks. So, everybody, what we've learned today is Mathis has a bleeding. Oh,
but
maybe you're
not,
a bleeding,
bleeding
liberal.
No, I can't be. I'm a bleeding chest independent.
Oh, you're a bleeding chest independent. That's what it is. You're a bleeding chest independent.
I'm a bleeding chest independent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you're dumb enough to use 3-year-old
Vicks Vapor Rub on your chest. But you had no idea. It's not like, because you don't think this stuff doesn't spoil.
The only reason that I found this out is because all of a sudden I wake up and my chest is bleeding. And I thought, what am I doing differently to my chest all of a sudden? And then I realized, well, it's like I haven't done a podcast with Trey where he makes me take my shirt off. So it hasn't been that. Oh my God, I put Vicks Vapor Rub on there. Let me go check and see. And it expired in February of 2017.
Wow. That's nearly that's 4 years. 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. So that's good. Maybe everyone should go to their medicine cabinet and just
check your Vicks Vapor Rub.
Just toss out a few of the old items like your 4-year-old Vicks Vapor Rub. That's a good that's a good PSA. Thanks for playing.
See, this is when we're actually helping society right now.
Right. We're givers.
So let me ask you this too. One thing real quick, and I know that we've got to go and our listeners are very busy people.
Very busy.
What's all this stuff with, like, I'm hearing today that, like, well, a new decade started. I don't think that's weird. That's not logical to me.
Yeah, because that's what there's apparently the people who developed the calendar, we'll call them Mayans.
Okay.
The Mayans, apparently.
So you're claiming that you own them.
yes, the Mayans. The Mayans.
So these people that you own created the calendar.
Yes, I don't own people. I'm not that guy. I hate people. I don't own them. Anyway, there's a large contingent of people on the Facebooks in a Facebook debate that want to know are defending that the decade starts at the one. So it's a brand new decade today at 2021. 2020 being the last year of the previous decade. I have a hard time with that. And then you really hit it home for me earlier in a conversation. So I'd like for you to take credit where credit is due and explain why we think what we think.
Trey, I really appreciate that. Because this is a big shout out to me from you, because normally I don't get that. But so my big thing was this, is like when someone asks me, what is my favorite year of the Roaring Twenties? I say 1930.
Right.
Which is like, no, but that's when the decade's supposed to end. So for me, no, it's the decade started with 2020. And now we're in year number two, beginning the very, very, the baby beginning of year number two of the decade. I mean, like, this is like baby new year, you know, like the famous baby sitting there in a diaper with like a big, huge, like fedora top hat on or whatever. Yeah, but we're in like year number two of that one, because I don't see how 1930 can be part of the Roaring Twenties. And if I'm wrong here, and again, people, we want your feedback. If I'm wrong here, you tell me I'm wrong, and I'll own up to it if you're right, and you're probably not. So, but please, you know, call in with your, like, you know, like your faint, you know, ridiculous ideas about me being wrong anytime you want to. But how can 1930 be your favorite year of the Roaring Twenties? I just don't get it.
I agree with you. I think logically, right? Just plain logically, the first day of 2020 was the first day of a new decade. Because
yes, it was the 2020s, right?
It was the zero, like when you're born, right? When you're born, you're not, you know, you don't start aging at 1 year old. You start aging at from zero up. That's how numbers work. They start at zero and work up. They don't start at one and work up.
Yes,
zero is correct. A number. So therefore. We are just now starting our second year of the Roaring Aughts, or the Roaring Tens. What do we call the Tens? The Twenties? Oh, it's the Twenties. It's the Roaring Twenties again, dude. I would have a whole decade behind there. What year do I think it is?
I don't know. I mean, you messed that up earlier too. So. Let's get some more of your expert on opinion about what
it's,
year it is.
It's Groundhog Day for me every day. It's just. Just Phil
Connors.
yeah. So today is the first day of the second year of the Roaring Twenties.
The 2020s.
The 2020s. It's the first day of the second year. Therefore, that debate has been settled. We've settled it. Because I'm going to say that my favorite year of the 2020s is going to be 2021, not 2030.
Yes.
That don't make no sense.
Yeah. Because it's not the 20s.
Correct. All right.
Well, I'm glad I pulled you around to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, thank you.
And again, there's yet another great PSA.
Right. Back-to-back PSAs.
Man, that's awesome. Listen, let me say this too real quick. I know that we're kind of going on, but I am thankful for every single one of you who listens to us. And, you know, for all three of you. I mean, this is really a special time for me and three of you. I'm flattered that three of you will listen to us.
With that said, folks, we average well over 70 listens per episode, which we're surprised at also. But our average is over 70 per episode. I didn't think I knew 70 people, but there's 70 of you out there, and we thank every one of you. Mathis only recognizes three of you, though.
Oh, so there are 70 now instead of three?
My
metrics are way back. So
correct.
All 70 of you then. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes.
You make it that we actually do this podcast for you. And I'm sure when you listen to it, you think, oh my God, that can't be true. You must hate us. But we don't. We do. We love you. So
right. And I'm not going to ask you to donate to our podcast anymore today.
Except for when you ask to donate to the podcast.
Right. I'll do that in the future, but I'm not going to ask anymore today.
today.
But, today's right. But what I would like for every one of you to do, if you can, if you find it in your free time, tell a friend, post it on Facebook or Twitter or Parler or MeWe or MySpace or whatever it is that you do to communicate with people. Tell your friends about our podcast. You could even bash it. Say, hey, I listen to this really stupid comedic/sports/stupid podcast, but you guys should listen too. Help us get people to listen to our stupid podcast because you care.
Yeah.
Help us out. At DC and TM Pod on the Twitters and the Facebooks. Email us.
I mean, we're followed by Josh Brolin now on Twitter.
Right.
This is a big deal. I mean,
right. We're currently having a discussion with Josh Brolin on Twitter after our perineum sunning.
Yes.
Excuse me, Eric Filios. Thank you, Eric Filios, for fixing the way I say words.
Shout out to Eric Filios.
Hey, Philly.
This segment brought to you by Eric Filios. Send us some money or it won't be brought to you by Eric Filios ever again.
So Josh Brolin, we're having a Twitter discussion with Josh Brolin. He still hasn't listened to the podcast, but we're hoping to convince him to come on.
But he's intrigued by the cartoon. So.
He was intrigued by our cartoon. Go check out the Facebook feed for the absolutely asinine, butthole son. rendition of our song here.
Yes.
So we're hoping to really expand our viewership, our listenership this year in 2021. That's my goal. That's my New Year's resolution for the pod is to get over 100 downloads per episode. We only need you guys to recruit us 30 more listeners. So get out there and recruit, folks. Thanks for
what's all about. And hey, listen, Happy New Year to everyone. I hope 2021 is much better than 2020 was. Unless 2020 was randomly great to you, and then I still hope it's better. So,
correct.
But yeah, thank you all. And I know it's been a rough year. Appreciate every one of you. Thank you.
Yep. That's it for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned for more episodes later when we do more episodes.
Wow. Are you saying that events in the future may affect us in the future?
I am.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
It's the best question. I am. Oh, God. We should read some more of the Dixie Chicken's questions. Oh, God. I'm thinking about
you're done here. I'm thinking about real quick. One last thing. I'm thinking about making Jell-O. I'm thinking about making Jell-O and putting it on the roof of my car. just to see what would happen. Also, just for the heck of it. Yeah, I'm thinking about getting a fish, putting it in a fishbowl, and also putting it on the roof of my car.
Well, because then you'll be smooth driving, baby.
Yeah, pretty good.
All right. So, how about making Jell-O and then putting yourself in it naked?
Wait, did you say naked?
Yeah.
Well, that brings
being
me, that,
naked that, inside, like sitting naked inside Jell-O, like almost like a bath of Jell-O, but you're in it naked. Yeah,
I'm up for that. I'm not gonna lie to you. I would try that. I would totally get into a bath of Jell-O. Like I'm on board. I also, whenever, as soon as you said that, I thought of The Office. Every time they put what's his name's stapler and stuff in Jell-O, which I thought was a hilarious prank.
Yeah, Dwight.
Dwight, thank you. Dwight's stapler and such in Jell-O. I found great humor in that show. I need to rewatch The Office. Ladies and gentlemen,
The Office is really good.
That may be my
That's your binge. Other New Year's resolution.
All right, I'm going to binge watch all the episodes of The Office again.
So everything that I told you about my goal for the podcast is going to be put on hold as I binge watch The Office as my New Year's resolution.
Well, my New Year's resolution was actually for other people to do stuff, not for me to do anything.
Exactly. Oh, God, that's the best one ever. Okay, here's my New Year's resolution. Is for everybody out there to do everything for me, including my job, and make the podcast bigger and everything else. So that's my New Year's resolution, for all of you to do stuff for me that makes me feel better and makes me, you know, lazier and richer. So
that's pretty much my New Year's resolution. We've got the same New Year's resolution. Have other people to do for
you. Just had to kind of bring me around to it. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Right. Well, it's the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, I'm going to wait to do unto others until they do unto me. And I need everyone to do on to me by getting us more listeners.
Well, wait a minute. I think I heard a different golden rule. I think the one I heard was do unto others before they do unto you.
Oh. Well, that's how I treat my relations, if you know what I mean. That's how I approach my relations. But well, that's just because I'm a generous lover.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.